6 o'clock, and we are on Yud Dalet Amid Beis. We are trying to prove whether Beis Shammai continue doing their opinion either before or after the Basco, where we had a Machloikas. We're trying to prove that Beis Shammai continue doing their opinion as time wore on, meaning we would, I guess, assume even after the Basco. So we are up to Tashma. I guess the way to find Tashma is to go across from Taisus Pshita and to go up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines. Tashma. Tashma coming here. Ava Bishaneklugu Beishamai Beisil Batsarasubachyos. Even though Beishamai Beisil argued. Now we're going to go through a whole list of cases where there's the Machloikas Beishamai Beisil. And at the end of the day, the Brisa wants to say they still married from one to the other. Now, the Brisa is going to list machloikas of marriage. Some which can make mamzerim, some which only rabbinically prohibited, but the Brisa here is going to list a whole list of machloikas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in marriage and divorce. Number one, Tzaris, our Mishnah. According to Beis Shammai, they did the halacha was to do yibum or chalitza to a tzaris erva. Beis Hillel would hold that is prohibited to do yibum. And chalitza is meaningless, but it's prohibited to do yibum. That's machlokes number one. Achyos. Machlokes of Achyos is a machlokes in the third perek. And that is talking about four brothers, two of them married two sisters and died without children. And now, two brothers are left. Not like Rav Shimon, who said that when two sisters follow the Yibum, they don't have Yibum or Chalitza. We're going with the Rabbanon. There is a mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza. But when Yehuda, Levi and Yehuda are going to be Miyabim, one of them is going to end up marrying, the first one that gets married, he's going to marry Achoysik Ukasai. And then yesterday, my friend asked the question why the second one can't do it once it's done. I said, we'll have to wait for the third pairing. But the bottom line is, they're not supposed to do Yibum, they're supposed to do Chalitza. There's a machloikas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, if they did Yibum, whether we make them divorce. Beis Shammai says no, and Beis Hillel says yes. That means according to Beis Hillel, if you do like Beis Shammai, they're living in sin. Again, not biblical sin, rabbinic sin. It would not have consequences for the children, but here you have another machloikas in marriage, where Beis Shammai thinks it's mutter to stay like this, and Beis Hillel holds it's usher. Case number three is Beget Yashan. The case of Get Yashan is a person wrote a get to his wife, but did not give it to her. He dated it, Aleph Tammuz, Tav Shin Ayin Tes. He gave it to her a year and a half later. Meanwhile, it's possible that she had a baby. They were together. It wasn't that they stayed separate. They lived together. He had the get in his files, but he never gave it to her. A year and a half later, he gave it to her. So she's divorced with a get that's predated. It's not questionable for whatever reason. We're not going to get involved in predated get. Again, it was dated the correct day when it was written. It wasn't predated. He didn't write it today and give it and date it a year and a half ago. He wrote it and then gave it a year and a half later. Meanwhile, it's very possible that she became pregnant and had a child. Years later, people will look at the child and look at the get and say, this child was born after they had to get. And therefore, what's going to do is, what it's going to do, Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to use it for gerushin. And Beis Hillel says that people will say that the get preceded the child, right? The get preceded the child, and it would be mighty laws on the child. And therefore, we don't want you to use this get. So here you have another case, right? Person uses this get, Beis Shammai would say it's fine, and Beis Hillel would not like it. Taisus has a problem because the Gemara in Gittin says that even Beis Hillel only says not to use it, but if you used it, it's fine. So really, there would be no consequence, rabbinic or biblical, if you used it. So why is this listed amongst the cases? And Taisus does not give an answer to the question. Or at least according to one man, the Amar there, it's the Beis Hillel is just saying l'chatchila not to use it. But if you use it, it's okay. From this Brisa's mashma, that really Beis Hillel thinks when you use it, it's not good rabbinically. They banned this get. It's much more severe than just a recommendation not to use it. Halacha not to use it. It seems to be from this braisa that if you use it according to Beis Hillel, it's no good. And that's why it's one of those machloikas and can affect the children, for instance. According to this braisa, it seems that if this woman would get this get yashon and get married to somebody else, rabbinically her children would be manzerim according to Beis Hillel. That's what this braisa makes it sound, that there's consequences here that affect marriage. And the Gemara in Gittin, according to one man, the Amar says there's no consequences. So there's a kasha from this braisa of that Gemara, but we'll leave it at that. The next case is Suffolk Eishes Ish, which Rashi has two pshatim. So I'm going to say the first pshat when we learn the Gemara, and then when we read Rashi inside, we will see the second pshat. Suffolk Eishes Ish, according to Rashi's first pshat, is Beis Shammai says that miyun can only happen by an arusa. The whole concept of a girl walking out of marriage, of a rabbinic marriage, only helps by an arusa. Once they consummated the marriage, even though it's only rabbinic, she has no right to walk out. Beis Hillel says, yes, she does. So according to Beis Shammai, if a girl does like Beis Hillel, she's still rabbinically married, and there are consequences rabbinically for the child of the next marriage. That would be a nafkamina between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Here, Beis Shammai being the more stricter, and Beis Hillel being the more lenient. Let's catch up with Rashi. Ubesafik eishes ish. Beperik Beis Shammai ditnan. Beis Shammai aimim eimemanim ela arusais. Beis Shammai says, miyun can only happen by an arusa, and the suwa cannot do miyun. It doesn't work. Laktana bas miyun kari safik eishes ish. We refer to Iktana, who is capable of doing miyun, as a suffik eishesish. Why is she called a suffik? Because duma mema'enes v'nafka, because according to Beis Hillel, she can always walk out. So at any point in time, she's married, but she has the ability to annul the marriage retroactively, so she's like a suffik eishesish. That's why the terminology refers to her as a suffik eishesish. That's the first pshat in suffik eishesish. A machloikas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, if an 11-year-old girl married rabbinically, can it walk out, and they consummated that rabbinic marriage, can she walk out of that marriage or not? Beis Shammai says no, and therefore if she does, she's still an Eishes Ish rabbinically, till he gives her a get, and unless he gives her a get, she's bound to him, she cannot marry somebody else, and if she does, there are rabbinic consequences to the children. And according to Beis Hillel, she's totally free and she can get married. Here you have a machloikas that affects the ability to marry into other families. Lishnach Rina Nira. Rashi says there's another pshat. Shchiv Meirash Akasav L'Ishtai. A person who's dying, who writes to his wife. Zeh Gitech Mahayoy Memesi Michayli Zeh. A person writes to his wife. This should be a divorce if he dies from this illness. That means he dates it, let's say, Aleph Sivan, he's dying, and he says the get should be retroactive from Aleph Sivan if this guy ends up dying from this illness. If he survives it, the get should not be a get. If he dies, it's a retroactive get. The Kol Eisen Hayamim, Nikra Suffolk Eishes Ish, during the time when she's in limbo, because she doesn't know whether she's divorced or not. If he ends up dying from this illness, that means she was retroactively divorced. If he doesn't end up dying from this illness, that means she's married to him. So during those days, she's called a Suffolk Eishes Ish. We don't know whether she's a married lady or not, because we have to wait and see what will happen from the illness. Could it not? Mahi Abaisin Yamim, Rabbi Yossi Aimer, Bilasi Suffolk. If she would be Mizana at this point, it would be a Suffolk whether she violated Eishes Ish. Rameir Aimer, Bilasi Kluya. And Rameir says it would be Tali, which is the same as Suffolk, except in Afkamina about bringing a carbon Ashram Tali, that it doesn't pertain to us now. But basically, she is in a state where we don't know her status. We have to wait and see what her status would be. Tanan, Vaitis Yachat Imai, Ella Piedim. And it says over there, she shouldn't be with her husband unless there are witnesses, because there's a fear here that when he lives with her, he's remarrying her, because he divorced her, and now he's living with her. So he might be considered, he gave her the get, right? It was suffik when it's chal, exactly, whether it's chal, right? And by the way, the suffik and tluya Also, the Gemara over there deals with why don't we find out at the end retroactively was she an Eitzes Ish, was she not an Eitzes Ish? That's a sugya in Gittin. We're going to leave it for there. But what we want over here is it says that the husband himself cannot be alone with her unless there are witnesses because we're afraid he's remarrying her. Even though over there we have no machlokes b'shamei b'sil, so why would this brisa refer to that case if there's no argument? The same machloikas that they have in a different case would apply to that case. And that is a case of a person who divorced his wife, and then they slept together in an inn. Right? Now, nobody knows what happened in the room. Nobody knows what happened in the room. So Beishamai the Army Loy Aminan Hein Hein Edi Yichud Hein Hein Edi Bia. Beishamai says we have no reason to assume that they actually had a physical relationship. They slept together in a room, former husband and wife, but we have no reason to assume that there was a relationship. We know they were alone in the room. We have Edi Yichud, but that doesn't mean that they did anything, any physical relationship. And therefore, Ein Nitzricha Menu Get Sheni, she does not need a new divorce. She was married, she got divorced. The fact that they spent time in one room does not make us think that there was a new marriage through Kedushin. Beisul says, if a man and a woman who were once married are in a room together, we assume that they had a physical relationship, which would mean he remarried her. Tzricha Menu Get Sheni. So that's a machloikas. Now, can I just finish? So by that machloikas, that's a machloikas beishamei beishil, with again, consequences for the children. Because if she gets married to somebody else without a second get, the kids are suffering mamzerim according to beishil. According to beishamei, they are not. Now, that same machloikas would apply to this woman whose husband gave her a get, that it should kick in retroactively, but then lived with her. So according to Beis Hillel, by being alone with her in a room, right? According to Beis Hillel, by being alone with her in a room, right? So, or living with her, as we will see in a moment, she would need a new get, even if he dies from that illness. It kicks in retroactively, but then he lived with her again. So that would be the same machloikas. So Rashi in the second shot is saying, Suffolk Eishes Ish, refers to a case of a person who wrote a get to his wife that we don't know whether it kicks in retroactively or not, and then lived with her, and then it kicked in retroactively, but according to Beisil, there would be a need of a new get that she doesn't have. Right? So during that period of time, till we find out, right, she is married to him. She's considered married to him. And if she were to Mizana then, going to Beisil, it would be an Eishes Ish. Going to Beishamai, it would be dependent on what happens at the end. Yes. Harvey.
So this case, he gave it to her.
He gave her the get.
And now they're secluded.
Right.
But if he's given her the get, they are fully divorced.
Right.
Aren't the mechanics of marriage or remarriage that he will have to perform both the Suyin and Kedushin again if he's remarried?
You're 100% right. But Kedushin can be done through Bia. One of the three ways to do Kedushin is to live with a woman and Adam are aware that they're alone in a room. So now, and they're living together.
But Kedushin alone, without Nisun or anything else, Kedushin alone, just backing up a little bit, let's assume they're fully divorced. They are now, there's no marital relationship to them because the get is effective. You give it to her, it's effective retroactively.
Right. Okay, so you're bringing into a subject matter where we have a concept of ain other. This gets, it's really a sugya and gittin. I don't want to go too far into it, but it gets involved in the sugya of whether a person makes his bia's nus. There's a machloikus in Masechtas Gittin. Will a person live with a woman, right? Will a person live with a woman and just for an affair and not a marriage if they were once married? Basil says, to a husband, to a wife, to a former wife, we assume that if he's living with her together, he doesn't want to live in as an out-of-wedlock relationship. We assume that he meant Kedushin. Now,
this is a special status because they were once married.
Is that the answer? That gets involved because they were once husband and wife, correct. Right.
Okay.
Because they were once husband and wife, correct. Now, there's two versions of that machloikas over there. Rashi brought one, and the other one is also pertaining. Meaning, in that machloikas of a person who divorces his wife and then they're together in an inn, right? They're living together, they're together in a room in a secluded area. There's two versions of the machloikas, and Rashi's going to refer to it in a minute. According to one version, the machloikas is we have no idea what happened in the room. The question is, do we assume that they had a physical relationship or not? But if they did, we would assume that it was Kedushin. Beis Shammai says, you have no right to assume that there was a physical relationship. They were in a secluded area, but that doesn't mean necessarily that they lived together. And Beis Hillel says, if they're in a secluded area, they were husband and wife, you know for sure that they lived together. And therefore it's a Kedushin. The other version of Machlokes is, we know they lived together. And the question is, did this person have an out-of-wedlock affair? Or did he meet a new wedding? There's two versions of that Machlokes. Now, if you go with the second version, then a person who gives his wife a divorce on condition and then lives with her. Again, according to Beis Hillel, we would say he knows that he might have divorced this woman, and therefore he means to remarry her, and therefore she becomes a Vaday Shesish. And according to Beis Shammai, he's having a fling with her, and he's not planning to remarry her at all. So that machloikas that they have by Megarish Ima Ishtai Vetlona Ima Bepundaki carries over to the case of a person who gives his wife a get on condition, and we don't know whether the condition is going to be fulfilled, meanwhile, is living with her. That is the machloikas. Let's read it in Rashi. So Rashi first brings the other pshat. That the machloikas of Megarish Ishta Vilona Imba Bapundiki, the Beis Shammai the Amri, Loyamin and Hein Eined, Yichud Hein Eined Debiya, according to Beis Shammai, who says, we don't assume they had a relationship, Ein Etzricha Menegacheni. According to Beis Hillel, who says, if they're alone in a room and they were once married, we say they definitely had a relationship, Tzricha Menegacheni. That is that machloikas. The Hossam Ifligaba, Rabbi Yaisi Rehuda Barabanan. There's a machloikas Tanoim over there, how to understand Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Tani Re'ush and the Siach de Ima Bafela. Right? They saw her alone in the dark, in a secluded area. Makminin Hassam, the Liba de Beis Hillel, the Megarish Ishta Velon Ima Bapundik Yehuda Ifligaba. The argument is in Beis Hillel. The Amr Kaman Azbahadam Rabbi Yechon the Machloikas Kishuru Kishanivala. Rabbi Yechon says, the Machloikas is when we know they had a relationship, did he mean Kedushin or not? So Rashi is saying, according to the version, that the argument is, when we know they had a relationship, did he mean Kedushin or not? That would carry over to the case of Suffolk Ashesish. So Rashi has offered us two pshatim in the Machloikas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, which the Braisa refers to as the case of Suffolk Ashesish. His first pshat was, we're talking about a Ktana, who consummated the rabbinic marriage. Beis Shammai says she no longer can nullify it, and Beis Hillel says yes, she can. If so, she is a Suffolk Ashes Ish, meaning in Beis Hillel's view of things, she's a girl that can always remove her Ashes Ish status. And Beis Shammai says no, she can't. There would be consequences to the children if she went and got married using the ability of Miyun, which according to Beis Shammai was ineffective. That would be the first shot in Rashi. Second shot in Rashi, suffocation ish, would be a person who gave his wife a get that would kick in on condition, and while we're waiting to see whether the condition is fulfilled or not, he lives with her. Did he mean a new condition or not, which is a machloikas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and again, according to Beis Hillel, if she got remarried without that new condition, without a new get, her kids would have consequences, where according to Beis Shammai, she's totally divorced. Which is the same machloikas, except it was a total get, and then they live together in an inn. You have a machloikas, one of two versions. Either whether being alone in a room indicates that they live together and it is a kedushin, or when they live together, do we assume kedushin or not? Two versions of the machloikas, Beishamai and Beishil. The next thing is, Bekesef, yes.
But very simply put, they went into a room, we don't know if it was the relation room was for kedushin or not. Isn't that considered a suffix?
Again, there's two versions of the machlokes. So we'll pick one or the other. According to one version, the second version. That means we know for sure they had a relationship. More than they went into a room. According to the second version, we know they had a relationship. They lived together. We saw that. The question now is, did he mean kedushin or not? Because he was once married to her. Beisil has a concept that says, Ein adam aisa bilasa bilaznus. To a woman that he was once married, he wouldn't want to have an out-of-wedlock relationship. He means to remarry her. And Beis Shammai says, a person does make bilas et bilasnus.
Well, first of all, I mean, what are the Edom for that?
The Edom that saw them living together. By the way, Edom Kedushin don't have to see the actual act of Bia. They just have to know that they went into the room to have a physical relationship. But in this case, the Gemara says, Ru'u Shenivala. We saw the relationship. Two people walked into the room, and there they were living together. Now the question is...
And he said...
He didn't say anything. Question is, right, do we assume he meant Kedushin or not? Right to the Gemara.
Well, what does that mean?
According to Beis Seho, there's a human factor behavior that says, Ein adam aisa bilasa bilisnas. That was a woman that he was once married to, he's not living out of wedlock. That's what Beis Seho says is a human nature behavior. I can't argue with them, you know what I mean? Beis Shammai does, but Beis Seho holds wrong. The next case in the Raisa is Bekesef Ubeshava Kesef, Bepruta Ubeshava Pruta. Beis Shammai says Kedushin requires a silver coin, or something worth a silver coin, a dinner. That's a silver coin. Beis Shammai says Kedushin only requires a Pruta, which is a copper coin, which is worth much less, or a Shava Pruta. So according to Beis Shammai, if you marry a woman with a Pruta, she's not married to you. And if she went and married somebody else, the kids would not be mamzerim. According to Beis Hillel, if you married a woman with a pruta, she is married to you, and the consequences are if she married somebody else, the kids of the second husband would be mamzerim. Still, even though they have all these machlokesim in marriage and divorce, they did not refrain from marrying into each other's family. They had a love and friendship to each other. They loved truth, but they also loved peace. And therefore, they intermarried families, even though they had these major disagreements. Let's catch up with Rashi. Rashi get Yashon, the Bach adds, and Hamagarish is Ishta Balamim and Bapundaki. If you want to look them up, they're Mesechtes Kedittin Bahazirek. Bekesa Beshava Kesa Bepruta Beshava Pruta. Then you Kedusha Isha. This is talking about a marriage of a woman. Beshama Yaimim Bediner Beshava Dinner. Beshamai says, what's necessary for Kedushin is either a dinner or something worth a dinner. Beshalaimim Bepruta Beshava Pruta. Now Rashi is bothered with the word Kesef. By Pruta, it speaks out the type of coin. By Kesef, it just says silver coin. So, Karashi, we refer to dinner as a silver coin. So, Amar Avashi, call Kesef for Amar B'Taira, Stam Kesef Tzuri. Whenever the Torah uses the word Kesef, it means Kesef Tzuri. There are two kinds of coin systems, the Tzuri coin system and the Medina coin system. And when the Torah refers to Kesef, it refers to the more expensive one. And the Gemara asks, Vasmina Barakidusha Isha, and Beis Shammai says, Kesef, right? They say dinner, and isn't that Kesef? So we see that the Gemara refers to dinner as kesef. Rashi is just going into the language that the Braisa will call it kesef because that's the code word for dinner, is a silver coin, which is a dinner. That's the Tanakhama. So the Tanakhama says, even though they had all these arguments, they got married with each other because they loved to have peace with each other. Reb Shimon says, Nimnu Heimen Avadai. They stayed away from those that were definitely forbidden to them. V'loi Nimnu Minasafik. But they didn't stay away from ones that were doubtful. For instance, at this point we think, like the ones that go alone into a room, right? They're not 100% sure that it was a Kedushin. It's a Suffolk, right? As Avram Cohn pointed out, there is a chance that they didn't mean Kedushin, but we assume that they did, right? Enough so that we would treat the kids at least as Suffolk Mamzerim. So, Rav Shimon seems to be saying, they stayed away from each other's Vada Yisurim, but they didn't stay away from each other's Suffolk Yisurim. And the Gemara is going to be very bothered by that. If it's a Suffolk Isser, how could they marry it? But the Gemara is going to get to there in a minute. What the Gemara wants to know is, I Amrit Bishlema Asum, if Bishamai kept on doing their halacha, Shemacha Nimnu. That's why Reb Shimon says they stayed away. They stayed away because Bishamai was doing like their halacha, so therefore Beis Hillel had to stay away. Eli Amrit Lo Yasu. But if you say that Bishamai deferred at the end and did exactly like Beis Hillel, so then Amai Nimnu. Why would they have to stay away? Why did Reb Shimon say they stayed away from the definite Isurim? Why? Beis Shammai deferred. According to Rav Yechanan, and according to Rav, Lo Yasu. Beis Shammai deferred. They gave in. If they gave in, so then there's no reason Beis Hillel to stay away from anybody. Is a raya that Beis Shammai kept on doing their halacha, and therefore Beis Hillel had to stay away from those that were definitely Aser. That's the Gemara's raya. Period. So now, at this point, we are leaving the raya. We don't have a answer to this raya. We're going to try to find out whether this brisa is a legitimate brisa, but there's no answer that the Gemara is going to give to this raya. It's a clear raya. It's a clear raya. Reb Shimon says they stayed away. By saying they stayed away, obviously, Beis Shammai was doing what they have to. Now the question of the Gemara is this a legitimate Braisa? Maybe the Braisa is wrong, because we have problems with this Braisa, independent of this question, and once we can prove that this Braisa has a mistake in it, so then the Braisa is not a proof to anything. For fact, the Gemara of Tisbar, how do you understand this Braisa? Nehi nami de asu. Even if you're right, the Beis Shammai kept on doing that way, and Beis Hillel kept on doing their way. So, we can understand why Beis Hillel would have to stay away from Beis Shammai. But why would Beis Shammai have to stay away from Beis Hillel? There's nothing wrong, even if you do like Beis Hillel, there are no consequences to the children. Right? Why would Beis Shammai have to stay away from Beis Hillel? In fact, the Gemara, Nehi Nami, true, that the Asu, even if they did like they did, right? Bishman the Beis Hillel, Nimnu the Beis Shammai, the Chai v'Krisis Ninu. The Beis Hillel, right? They would have to stay away because some of these things, the Tzara and some of the others, are Chai v'Krisis, and it's Mamzerim. Elo Beis Shammai, my Nimnu Beis Hillel, B'nei Chai v'Lavin, Ninu Ksherim. Worst case scenario is that it's B'nei Chai v'Lavin. Right? That's the worst case scenario. So why did they stay away from Beis Hillel? Must be there's a mistake in this brisa, right? By the fact that it says that Beis Hillel stayed away from Beis Shammai and Beis Shammai stayed away from Beis Hillel, right? From Vadai, right? It says like this. Tanakhama says they didn't stay away from each other because they loved peace. That Rav Shimon says they did stay away from the Vadai, right? Now, each one stayed away from the other. We can understand why Beis Hillel stayed away from Beis Shammai, but why is Beis Shammai staying away from Beis Hillel? Even if the Tzara got married without anything, the kids would only be B'nei Chai V'Lavin. So what would be the consequence? Why would Beis Shammai have to stay away? So it must be this Bryce is mistaken. Dr. Gemara, no. Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Le Nisrucha Ela L'Tzara Atzma. No, Beis Shammai stayed away from marrying the Tzara, not the kids. They stayed away from marrying a Tzara's Erva. According to Beis Hillel, would be free to marry everybody. Beis Shammai didn't marry her because they said she needs Chalitza. That's shot in the Braisa. They stayed away. Doesn't mean they stayed away from the children. They stayed away from the woman herself. So therefore the Braisa is not mistaken. And if the Braisa is not mistaken, we have a Raya to that Asu, that Beis Shammai kept on doing what they had done originally. Rashi, the Tzara Atzma, Hadik Tanin Nimoim, the Tzara Atzma, Ulaylam Beis Shammai Nami Nimoim Beis Hillel, Melissa Tzara Sabas, Beloy Chalitza, to marry Tzara Sabas with Al Chalitza. Now Tosfos over here has a question that he doesn't understand the Gemara. We had many cases in this Braisa. One of them we mentioned was Miyun. If you remember by Sofik Eishes Ish, we said that according to Beis Shammai, once a girl consummates a marriage, a rabbinic marriage, she cannot annul it. According to Beis Hillel, she could. Now if a girl does like Beis Hillel and gets married to somebody else, the children would be rabbinic memzerim. There's a good reason Beis Shammai should stay away from Beis Hillel in the case of Miyun, or in the case of Kedushin. A girl got Kedushin, right? A girl got Kedushin with a pruta from the first one husband, and then got married to a second husband with a dinner. According to Beis Hillel, she's married to the first husband. According to Beis Shammai, she's married to the second husband. She has children with the first husband. According to Beis Hillel, those kids are 100% kosher. According to Beis Shammai, those kids are 100% mamzerim. So they have to stay away. So why is the Gemara bothered by the fact Beis Shammai did have to stay away from Beis Hillel? There was cases in that Braisa that Beis Shammai would have to stay away from Beis Hillel. The Gemara says, I understand why Beis Hillel went away from Beis Shammai, because there's krisis. But we don't understand why Beis Shammai went away from Beis Hillel, because it's only lavin. The case of Tzara is only a lav. But other cases are krisis. So Taisa says he doesn't understand why the Gemara says it. So Taisa says that the main point of this Braisa is Tzara's. And therefore, even though in the other cases, Beis Shammai would have a reason to stay away, but if in Tzara's they had no reason to stay away, the Braisa wouldn't stay, Beis Shammai stays away from Beis Hillel. That's how Taisa learns it. I don't have a better shot. But Tosfos is bothered. Two of the cases that we brought, there's a good reason Beis Shammai should stay away from Beis Hillel. And Tosfos' answer is, the main thrust of the Braisa is the first case, Tzara's. And it seems to say that Beis Shammai would stay away Beis Hillel in that case. And that bothers the Gemara. Why would they have to stay away in that case? In that case, the children are only B'nai Chai V'lavin, according to Beis Shammai. And the answer is, they stayed away from the Tzara herself. That's how Tosfos learns the Gemara. Again, it sounds a daichik to me, because the Braisa did bring other cases, and in other cases, Beis Shammai would have to stay away from Beis Hillel, because there would be a question of Mamzeris. But still, the Gemara feels that if in Tzara's they didn't have to stay away, we wouldn't say Beis Shammai has to stay away. That's how Tosfos explains. So at the end of the day, so far, we have a Raya that Beis Shammai did like they said, because if not, why did Beis Hillel have to stay away from Beis Shammai? Why would they have to stay away? If Beis Shammai deferred, they deferred. Zok to Gemara. Let's understand Reb Shimon. Shimon said they stayed away from the definite ones, and they didn't stay away from the Suffolk ones. Since when are you allowed to marry a Suffolk Isser? If you're staying away, that means you should stay away from even Suffolk. What does Reb Shimon mean? They stayed away from the definite Isurim, but they didn't stay away from the Suffolk ones. Frek the Gemara, Maishnam and Avadai, the Isuru. Why did they stay away from the Vadai? Because it's Isur. Min HaSuffolk, Suffolk Nami, Isuruhu. A Suffolk Mamzer is also Usur. So why did they stay away from some and not from others? Doesn't make any sense. Again, trying to prove that this Braisa, something is a mistake in this Braisa. And for the Gemara, Loi Teimim min HaSuffolk, Loimim min HaStam. The Braisa means to say is they stayed away when they knew it was Usher, but they were able to marry into Beis Shammai's family without asking questions. Beis Shammai would have informed them if anything was wrong. That's what somebody should mute themselves. Somebody should please mute themselves. Beis Shammai stayed away. Beis Hillel stayed away from Beis Shammai when they knew something was wrong or suffering wrong. What Rav Shimon meant to say is, in a regular basis, they didn't stay away because Beis Shammai would not mislead them, would let them know. Why? The Maidelu Parshu, my Kamash Mulan, so what's the Chiddush? The Ava Vareya Nagim Zebaze, that they loved each other. And therefore, they would tell each other. In fact, the Mahayana Reisha, isn't that what the Tanakhama said? What is Rav Shimon and adding? Tanakhama said they loved each other, and therefore they would inform each other. And Rav Shimon seems to be repeating the same thing the way we're saying now. Zakti Gemara Kamashma the Kula Rav Shimoni. The time of this whole brice, it's not an argument. The Tanakhama and Rav Shimon are one and the same. They're saying, Beis Hillel trusted Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai trusted Beis Hillel. If something would be wrong, they would be informed. Beis Shammai trusted Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel trusted Beis Shammai. If something was wrong, they were told, this is Suffolk wrong, this is Vadai wrong, and then they would marry into each other, into those families. But there was an implicit trust. Beis Hillel knew Beis Shammai would let them know if something was wrong. And therefore they were able to marry into the other one's family because of the love that existed between the two of them. That's what the Gemara is saying. Rashi, Minastam, Kokamat Lemoidalu, Parashim Estrama. The Vad that you have in Mahanach, the Spirit of Lu, have a Moidalu. If it would be from those that they didn't hold of, they would have informed them. Over here, the Rishayim talk about, the Chaira, why, it sounds like Beis Shammai went beyond the letter of the law because of the love of Beis Hillel and informed them that according to you, Beis Hillel, you shouldn't marry this woman. Right? So the Ritva says, you see over here, that if I see somebody doing something that he thinks is usher, but I think is mutter, I don't have to stop him from doing it. If Reuven sees Shimon doing something that Reuven himself thinks is mutter, and Shimon thinks it's usher, but doesn't realize that he's doing that thing. Now, Shimon never asked Reuven, never asked him. He went ahead and did this action. Does Reuven have a chiyuv to tell Shimon, Shimon, according to you, this is usher? Or not? So Dr. Ritva, you see from here that there's no obligation. There's no obligation. Because, you see over here, that Beis Shammai did it because they loved Beis Hillel. That means they weren't obligated to do it. If they were obligated to do it, it's nothing to do with love. It's halacha. So let's say I see a guy walking into a store and he picks up a product that I know he would never eat had he known that this heksher is. I know he doesn't rely on that heksher, and that's what the product has, a heksher. And I do eat it. I see him picking it up. Am I obligated to go over to him and say, Rabid, you should know you wouldn't eat this. If you knew the heksher, you wouldn't eat it. I eat it. I rely on that heksher. You don't rely on that heksher. But you think that's a different heksher. I'm telling you, you wouldn't eat it. Am I obligated to do it? And the answer is, Dr. Dr. I'm not. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not misleading him. I didn't tell him it was okay. He's doing it on his own. He would know it's us, what it is. He wouldn't do it. But I think it's mutter. So according to me, he's not doing anything wrong. According to him, he's doing something wrong, but he doesn't know. I have no chiyuv to inform him. Only Beis Shammai, because they loved Beis Hillel so much, went beyond the letter of the law, and they informed Beis Hillel, don't marry this girl. Beis Hillel went to marry a family. Beis Hillel didn't know that this was a result of a marriage that according to them is a mamzer. They didn't know. And Beis Shammai informed them. Why did Beis Shammai inform them? The Braisa says because they loved each other. That means if not, they wouldn't have informed them. Aren't they obligated? The answer is no. Beis Shammai thinks this girl is 100% mutter. They're not giving it to Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel is taking it on their own. They didn't tell Beis Hillel marry this woman. They didn't give it to Beis Hillel, but they just didn't. They don't have to stop them because they love Beis Hillel so much. That's why they stopped them. So according to Ritva, Beis Shammai wouldn't be able to give it to Beis Hillel. I wouldn't be able to invite the guy to my house and feed him this because I know he doesn't eat it, even though I think it's kosher, but I wouldn't be able to invite him to feed it to him, because then I am giving it to him, and that would be lifnei iver. I'm giving him something that I know he wouldn't eat. But in this case, when he's doing it on his own, and it's a question of stopping him from doing it, I have no obligation to stop him unless I love him dearly and I want to go beyond the letter of the law. That's the Ritva Shita, and that's what the Rama paskins. That's what the Rama paskins, that he could, a person, it's usher to feed the person something that he wouldn't eat. But you don't have to stop him. The Prichadash takes it a step further. He holds, if I think something is mutter, I can feed it to somebody who thinks it's usher. Comes to my house, I can feed him something that I know he wouldn't eat, because I think it's kosher. And if I think it's kosher and I eat it, I'm allowed to feed it to him. And there's no lifnei iver even. Which we don't, that's the Prichadash's psak. He brings a raya from this Gemara. He brings a raya from this Gemara that the Gemara thought at the beginning, right? The Gemara thought at the beginning that Rav Shimon said they have to stay away from Vadai and not stay, that means it was, they still had to investigate this on their own. The Gemara, the answer says they informed each other. But in the Havamina, the Gemara thought Rav Shimon is saying they still have to do their own investigation, which means Beis Shammai could give them girls who are usher according to Beis Hillel. That's what the Prichadash learns. Again, so it's a big machloikas. The Ritva, the Mordechai, and the way the Rima paskins is you don't have to stop somebody from doing something, at least that's what the Ritva says, that he thinks is usher, but you think is mutter. Your opinion is that it's mutter. He's doing it on his own. You're not giving it to him. You don't have an obligation to stop him. That is the way the Ritva says it. But you're not allowed to give it to him, because then you're Iver Lifnei Iver. Because then you're involved in giving it to him, and since he holds its usher, you're not allowed to give it to him. So therefore, if I eat something that I know my friend wouldn't eat, and I invite him to my house, I should not serve it to him. Because I know that he wouldn't eat it. And I am serving him something that's usher to him, and the Rama paskins that is usher. The Prichadash holds that is mutter. Because if as long as he comes to me, and I think it's kosher, meaning I'm under the assumption that it's kosher, I don't have to worry about the fact that he doesn't eat it. La'alocha l'maisa, we paskin like the Rama, that a person doesn't have to stop somebody, but he doesn't shouldn't be the one to give it to him either. That seems to be the machlokes, and that seems to be the psak halacha. Zog the Gemara weiter. Tashema. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Correct. Going to the Prichadash, you invite somebody to your house, and you don't drink Chol Yisroel, and you serve it to him, you didn't do anything wrong. He could ask. He didn't ask. He drinks the milk in your house. According to the Rama, you should not serve him Chol Yisroel. He holds a tzasser. I mean, again, right. That would be a good case, the Chayra of the Bachalikas, Prichadash, and Rama. Correct. That would be a good case of the machlokes. You know, again, you know, that's a good case of the machlokes. Rama would say you're not allowed to serve it to him, but if you see him buying a chocolate bar that has regular milk, not Chol Yisroel, Rama, you don't have to stop him, the Ritva says. You hold his mutter. So why should you stop him? If you're a nice guy and you love him, right? As the Gemara said before, they were night Aviv Arayas, so you would say, you know that's Tam milk, that's not Chol Yisroel. But halachically you're not obligated, but you are obligated according to Ritva and the Mordechai and the Rama Paskins not to serve it to him, because then you're feeding it to him, that's Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver includes doing something to a guy that's making him stumble according to him. The Prichadash says, you're not making him stumble, because according to you, it's mutter. So therefore, you're not making him stumble. Zog the Gemara weiter. Tashma. Again, we pass, halacha l'maaseh, I think we pass like Rama. I just mentioned the machlokes. Tashma. Damar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Heich halacha zu revechas b'Yisrael. How is this halacha gonna go out and be, I don't know what Revechas he translates. Meaning, how can we allow this to continue? How can we have a situation that people were marrying people that according to other people become mamzerim? Like, you know, how can we live this way? How does he translate Ruvechas?
Disseminated.
How can we let this halacha be disseminated? Not the Kedivri Beis Shammai, Havlad Mamzel Kedivri Beis Hill. If we do like Beis Shammai, we're creating Mamzerim according to Beis Hill. Not the Kedivri Beis Hill, Havlad Pogum Kedivri Beis Shammai. Right? Rashi explains, based on a Gemara later on that we will see a magician later this week, or beginning of next week, that the child becomes Pasul Lakuna from the Chayv Elavim. So we're creating girls that are Pasul Lakuna. Like, do we want that? Like, how can we live this way? Now, it's similar to what Harvey said yesterday. Like, these are major issues. But this is more than Shabbos. Shabbos, in one city they can do one way and the other way, and there's no lasting effects. Here, there are lasting effects. There are children walking around that a good portion of Klal Yisrael thinks they're mamzerim. And there are other children walking around that a good portion of Klal Yisrael thinks they're not allowed to marry a kayan. Like, this is a very difficult thing to live with. So therefore, Rabbi Yechim ben Nuri offered the following solution. Let's reach a compromise. Let's make every tzara get chalitza and not ibum. There won't be any mamzerim, and the girls won't be able to marry kahuna. Right? But, at least, we'll avoid some people thinking one way, and some people be thinking the other way. Basil will let him do chalitza, and we'll treat the, and the daughters would be mutter to kahuna. There would be no lasting effect on the daughters because they wouldn't be living over a lot. They wouldn't be over a lot. And there would be no last. And Beis Shammai wouldn't do yibum. There would be no mamzerim. And everybody can live happily ever after. And this solution would prevent lasting effects of this machloikas. Rashi. The Rashi, havat pogum ledibre Beis Shammai. The imhoye kayan pasal lakuna. It would be a kayan who would marry this tzara. According to Beis Hill, the daughter would be pasul lakuna. The avagat of Nechai Belavim Sherem Lakol, even though they're kosher to marry Jewish, they're not mamzerim, chalolam hemlin yikahuna, the astabakav l'chayim manal l'chayim god l'chayim b'shmaitzin, it's a machloikis later on, but according to one man the Amar, they become pasul lakuna. Shiacholtus, v'nasu l'shuk b'hechsher, after chalitza they can marry somebody else, 100% kosher, and the Divri HaKayel, the kids would be fine, there would be no lasting effect, the kids could marry a Kayan, everything would be fine. The girl, the woman herself, wouldn't be able to marry a Kayan. She would have Chalitza. But you would save lasting effect. No Mamzerim, no Psula Lakuna, all those things that according to one is one way, according to one is the other way, we would stop it. Look, the Gemara, you speak a lot, like Mesadavar, they did not able, they weren't able to reach a conclusion. The time passed, and they never enacted Rabbi Yechim ben Nuri's compromise. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said to Rabbi Yechim ben Nuri, the reason I don't agree with you is manathalam l'tzaris rishaynis miyata. If you do this, that means all the tzaris that did it till now, their kids will be mamzerim, and they would be, meaning we would acknowledge their mamzerus by offering this compromise and Beis Shammai saying, okay, no more yibum. That means the kids from before would be left hung out to dry by Beis Shammai. Because Beis Shammai would be saying from now on, we don't allow yibum. These kids are product of yibum of Atzara. They would be hung out to dry. So Trashi, if we're going to decide now no Yibum, that means we're going to agree that if you do Yibum, there is a consequence of Mamzerus. Beis Shammai would agree to that, at least rabbinically. Now all those kids that happened till now are being hung out to dry. And therefore it's not fair to do this. That's the machloikas, Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. One wanted to make this takana, and one felt it wouldn't be fair to those who were hung out to dry. But, what are we worried about? If Beis Shammai didn't do their halacha, so why is this conversation taking place? If they kept on doing their halacha, I know the Kama Manasa. That's why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, we can't do it, there are consequences here. Eli Amit Le'asu. But if you tell me Beis Shammai referred to Beis Hillel anyway, my nasa. So what are you worried about? Why are you worried about consequences to those who did it before? Nobody did it. It was Layasu. So what's Rav Shimon going to be worried about? So therefore the Gemara wants to prove from here again that it was Asu. The Gemara wants to prove that it was Asu. Zakt Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, I think we'll leave the answer for tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, we will continue.